Morning, Father. How are you? Good to see you. The Senate will please come to order. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Wednesday, January 25th. Agar.
Present.
Anderson.
Here.
Anselmi Dalton.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Boner.
Here.
Bouchard.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
I need
to. Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Ellis.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Hastert. Hicks.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nethercott.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Bebout.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Father Jason Dickey.
O Lord, grant that we may meet the coming day in peace. Help us in all things to rely upon your holy will. In each hour of the day, reveal your will to us. Bless our dealings with all who surround us. Teach us to treat all that comes to us throughout the day with peace of soul and with firm conviction that your will governs all. And all our deeds and words guide our thoughts and feelings. In unforeseen events, let us not forget that we are sent by you. Teach us to act firmly and wisely without embittering and embarrassing others. Grant us the strength to bear the fatigue of the coming day with all that it shall bring. Direct our will. Teach us to pray. Pray within us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much for that inspiring message. I hope we will get after it and do what we're supposed to do now. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 24, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. We have with us today Dr. Douglas Parks from Cheyenne. Doctor, welcome. Members of the Senate, if we really need a doctor and we want his undivided attention, there's a certain lady that can really help us get that in this organization as well. We have some bills to reading introduction of bills. Well, before we do that, today in Wyoming history, in 1967, jade was adopted as a state gemstone. Jade is a compact, opaque gemstone that ranges from dark green to almost white in color. Wyoming state gemstone is a nephrite variety of jade. Polished nephrite has an oily luster. And for a lot of you that know about jade, a lot of that over by the Jeffrey City area of our great state. Today is day 12. By noon today, I want to remind everybody, was that your, Mr. Majority Authority, were you going to remind us of something?
No, I wasn't. I'm just
doing
my forework.
Anyway, all Senate files for introduction need to be submitted to LSO by noon today. Now, introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Do we have some bills to? Just this one? These two? Okay. Senate file 114, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 114, Education Reform, sponsored by Senator Scott.
Senate file 114 will refer to committee number 4, Education. Senate file 122, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 122, Water Development Amendments, sponsored by Senator Hicks.
Senate File 122 shall be referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 125, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 125, Permanent Mountain Daylight Saving Time, sponsored by Senator Von Flatern.
Senate File 125 shall be referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Reports from standing committees.
January 25, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 10, to whom was referred Senate File 111, Nurse Practice Act Revisions, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom was referred Senate File 49, Investment Funds Committee, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Senator Peterson, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom was referred Senate File 70, Manufacturing Machinery Exemption Sunset Date, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Senator Case, no. Senator Peterson, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 5, to whom was referred Senate File 103, Water Project Repayment, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Moniz, acting chair.
Do we have any messages from the House? We don't, do we? Okay. Senator Hicks, could you come up here, please? Senator Peterson.
President, just for clarification, was Senate File 49 read in just barely from our Committee 3?
Yes, it was.
Mr. President, Senate File 49 does have an appropriation. I'd ask for that to be re-referred to the Appropriations Committee.
Without objection, Senate File 49 has been re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Bill's on second reading. Senate File 48, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 48, Farm Loan Program Amendments.
Senate File 48, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 56. Senator Hicks.
Chairman, could we lay that back just a little bit for later? The LSO is distributing the second reading amendment on that right now. Do we have that out yet? Okay.
Without objection, that will be put at the end of the list. Senate File 67, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 67, CHIP Program Amendments.
Senate File 67, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Senate File 72, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 72, 2017, Large Project Funding.
Senate File 72, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 77, is there an amendment being passed out? Okay. Senate File 77, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 77, Capital Oversight Group Membership.
We have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 77.
Senate File 77, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move adoption of Senate File 77, amendment number 1, second reading. Folks, what this does, we talked about adding a couple past members or additional members, non-voting, onto the capital construction, and this simply moves it back down to 1. We've got multiple people with expertise. This just puts it from 2 to 1, kind of a common sense deal, probably, because the two of them have worked together all the time anyway, I think. So I think 1 makes sense. I would move for adoption of the amendment. Stand for questions.
Yeah, Mr. Vice President, would you come up here, please?
There it is, Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Members of the Senate, you know, this capital restoration project has been a tough project. We had some great debate on it yesterday about the issues there involved. You know, the institutional knowledge, the amount of expertise that we need, the amount of expertise that we already have. You know, I understand that the intent of this. I just cut it back to 1 member. You know, do what you want as far as a member of the Senate. However, I think that 2 members just makes it a little bit better, and the 2 that, you know, the list we'll give to the governor will be 4 qualified people. Why would we not want to have 2 helping us instead of 1? But I'm not going to fall on my sword on this one, but I do think 2 people would be a lot better, and I would ask you to defeat the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I've had the pleasure of being on the Capital Restoration Oversight Committee for the last few years also. I'm on and against the amendment. There's a lot of expertise there. There were 4 people that would be eligible. Any of those 4 would be a valuable addition as a non-voting member because they bring expertise and experience to the topic that we need. We need to maintain it. I don't think there's any certainty as to which 2 of those 4 will continue on the Restoration Oversight Select Committee, but any of them would be valuable, and I think the additional help and experience is a positive, so I'd urge the body to defeat the amendment and leave it at 2.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question being called for. All in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 77, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has failed. Division being called for. All in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. That amendment has failed. Senate File 77, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Heard no objection. It is so ordered. Senate File 106, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 106, obsolete reporting requirements, repeal and modification.
Senate File 106, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 107, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 107, probate code amendments.
Senate File 107, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 108, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 108, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, if I may, I promise to report back, and if I may have privilege of the floor to report back on this particular bill.
Yes, you may.
Thank you. The question was, I went back and we were, if you remember, we were talking about official capacity and when legislators are asking our official capacity versus an individual capacity. I have, there's been some memos that have been produced by LSO on the pass on this, and those memos are available for any individual member's review. If you want, I'd be happy to visit and get those. But anyway, there's a portion of what I got from LSO that I thought would read and might be a little bit instructive for us. Perhaps more important to your inquiry is the distinction between actions taken within the legislative sphere and actions taken by legislators outside the legislative sphere. For brevity, the following are excerpts from a previous LSO memo. Absolute immunity is afforded only when action is taken in a legislative capacity. If a legislator's conduct is administrative in nature, only qualified immunity is available. The Supreme Court has extended the reach of the speech and debate clause to protect actions taken by legislators in the sphere of legitimate legislative activity. A legislative act is in the sphere of legitimate legislative activity if it is an integral part of the deliberative and communicative processes by which members participate in committee and House proceedings. With respect to the consideration and passage or rejection of proposed legislation, or with respect to other matters which the Constitution places within the jurisdiction of either House. Voting by members, committee reports, and a member's conduct at legislative committee hearings are protected as conduct within the sphere of legitimate legislative activity. Activities of a legislator outside of a committee and individual views expressed by a legislator outside of the committee, however, have been found to be outside the legislative sphere. For example, the Fifth Court of Appeals has held that accusations in a committee hearing that an officer in the state's National Guard squandered funds were protected by legislative immunity. The court, on the other hand, suggested that defamatory statements made after the committee was dissolved would be outside the sphere of legitimate legislative activity. There may be a moral in that story, but I'm not sure what that would be, Mr. President. The Supreme Court has explained that a legislator's assistance to constituents, though expected, is not a legislative act protected by absolute immunity. Although a legislator would most likely not enjoy absolute immunity from liability arising out of assistance to a constituent or an elector, he could argue that he is entitled to qualified immunity. The doctrine of qualified immunity protects legislators from civil liability for civil damages insofar as their conduct does not violate clearly established statutory or constitutional rights of which a reasonable person would have known. For example, in a case alleging that legislators made disparaging, accusatory, or untrue statements about the plaintiffs, the court found that the plaintiffs had failed to state a claim for violation of the plaintiff's constitutional rights and that the legislators were accordingly entitled to qualified immunity on those claims. The limited Wyoming case law on the subject was noted to be in accord with the above principles from federal case law. And then they quote from a Wyoming case. The rule of immunity for legislative or quasi-legislative action rests upon the principle that courts should not inhibit the legislative process by providing a forum for second-guessing legislative policy decisions. The doctrine is available to local officials when they act in a legislative capacity, and then cite something about apparently it was either a county commission or a planning and zoning board acting in a quasi-legislative zoning decision. The Supreme Court says, while the enactment of a zoning ordinance or regulation is a legislative act, the conduct challenged in the case did not involve the adoption of legislation in any sense. Moreover, the alleged breach of duty did not occur in the determination of a fundamental governmental policy. The duty to require an engineer certification was purely an imperative administrative duty imposed by the legislature. The doctrine of quasi-legislative immunity does not apply. So then turning, the other thing it talks about is how that applies under the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act. Wyoming Governmental Claims Act provides that a governmental entity and its public employees, while acting in the scope of their duties, are immune from liability for any tort except as provided in the Act. The Act provides that if a public employee commits a tort for which liability has been waived and the government only finds that he was acting within the scope of his duties, the entity is required to pay for a defense. If a judgment is entered against a public employee who is found to have acted within the scope of his duties, the entity must pay the judgment. Likewise, settlements are to be paid by the entity. A legislature, however, could be exposed to personal liability if he were sued in tort and a court or jury determined that the action taken was not within the scope of the legislator's duties. The Act defines scope of duties as performing any duties which a governmental entity requests, requires, or authorizes. Let me read that again. The Act defines a scope of duties as any duties which a governmental entity requests, requires, or authorizes a public employee to perform regardless of the time and place of performance. So it's a pretty technical legal response to that, but ultimately the debate and speech clause protects any acts that we do on this floor while we're in debate or while we're in committee or performing while we're in session or while we're doing our interim committee work. Once those committees have expired, we're on their own. Then the question becomes, are you acting within your official capacity as official act of your office? We are employees of the state government. We do get a W-2 from the state government every year to file on our tax returns. And so we look, and the question would be, is that something that's authorized within our legislative duties? I think we'd have to see exactly. Those things will be very fact-dependent, but constituent efforts, I think, are certainly authorized on behalf of our office. But, again, those will be very fact-driven. So the water's not clear once you get outside of the actual legislative voting and the committee and debate that we do on the floor or in committees. It's unclear, but there is you do have the advantage of governmental immunity as long as you're acting within the official scope of your duties. And those things are expected of you as a legislator. That's the answer that I have for you and the follow-up from yesterday, Mr. President.
Any further questions of the Senate Majority Floor Leader? Senate File 108, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 56, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Planning.
We do have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 56?
Senate File 56, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 7.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 56. Members, I want to walk you through what this amendment does and then tell you a little bit about the program. So what the amendment does is we're going to go in there and we're going to pull some of the money back out of the planning bill specific to watershed studies. We're going to leave $300,000 in there. We'll go back to the commission. They'll have to prioritize within those studies that are outlined in the existing bill and determine which one of those meets the highest level of priority. But probably most important, so you can understand the justification for this amendment and why I think it's appropriate, currently is criteria in the program for the water development to participate in what they call their small water program. It's a criteria that they have that you have to complete a watershed, level one watershed study program. So the barrier to get in to utilize this program is you have to do these studies. They range anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000. The fundamental flaw with that is with this planning bill highlights is we're spending a lot more money on studies than we are actually developing water in the small water program. So this money that we're pulling out of here could potentially be available for projects under that small water program or for any of the other reconnaissance studies or programs that the water development does. Members of the body, with that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration and would stand for any questions, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think I'm going to really like this amendment, but I do have a couple of questions. Is, Mr. President, I do presume we'll have to have a roll call because it's taking money out of the bill. It seems to me that we are spending way too much on planning, especially given our ability to finance actual water projects, and this is very much a step in the right direction. Is the requirement that to get a small water project, is that a statutory requirement that we need to change, or is that an administrative requirement that the water development folks could change in response to actions like this amendment? And how does the cost of these watershed improvement studies compare with the typical small water project that we're talking about? Are we spending more on the basin-wide studies than we're spending on the individual projects involved? Or what's the relationship there? So those are my two questions. Can they change it? And how's the cost of these studies compare with the cost of the projects involved?
Before the sponsor of this amendment speaks again, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, we did, in talking about this and contemplating this amendment and bringing it out, and this will answer at least in part, I believe, my fellow senator from Natrona County's question. We did visit with the director of this agency about this and talked about some of the effects and what this means if we go out and do this. My understanding is there's no statutory requirement to have these studies. What does happen is, particularly with some of these small water projects, they will be on private property. And so ultimately there can be a private interment. And so what they do is, looking at the overall watershed design, and they provide a public purpose to avoid erosion or to other control, water control and other watershed management, and how it fits into that plan. And so it helps in some instances, not in all instances, but in some instances avoid the constitutional issue about providing public assistance for a private benefit. So it's used in part to address that. One of the other things that's in there that we did specifically ask about was the statewide water research, which is a specific line item in this section. And one of the things we ask about that, that is basically straight or basic research at the University of Wyoming, in asking about if that research had applied and how that had benefited, if there had been any direct benefit that the Water Development Commission or that the Select Water Committee, other people could rely upon in managing and furthering the cause of that of what we do with water in this state. I think my interpretation of his answer was that he was being very kind and very political, but it's basic research and oftentimes is of limited application to the real world. So anyway, in looking at that and doing these and reviewing these, while he certainly didn't jump up and down and say, yes, this is the best idea ever to cut this like we suggested, he did indicate that they would go back through, that if we did this, they would go back and reprioritize and find those ones they thought this was most important and best application of funds, and that the money that's not there would be available and would be able to be appropriated in the future for whatever other it might be used under the Water Development One accounts.
Any other discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, and the second question that was asked by my good friend here, the senator from Natrona County, is what's the cost differential? So the studies typically cost $300,000 to $400,000. Within the criteria for participating in the small water program, there's a cap. And the cap is the state will pay 50% of a small water project not to exceed $35,000. So you could potentially fund 10, and that's a cap. And typically what you see within the range of those, a lot of these are only $12,000, $14,000, or $20,000 projects. So the state's only paying 50% of that. So the minimum number of projects you could do for the cost of the study is 10. You could do upwards of 15 or 20, and that's typically, so it really does make sense to try to redirect the program a little bit back to actually expending the monies towards the purpose of the program, which is develop Wyoming's water instead of perpetuate endless studies. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 56. All in favor say aye.
Roll call vote.
Excuse me. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar? Conflict. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern? Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 conflict.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 1 of Senate File 56 has passed. Senate File 56 as amended, having been read for 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection. It is so ordered. We're going to do some further introductions of bills. Senate File 138, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 138, Certified Public Accountants Amendments.
Senate File 138 will be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 139, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 139, Game and Fish Licenses.
Senate File 139 will be referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 140, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 140, I-80 Project Master Plan, sponsored by Senator Von Flatern.
Senate File 140 will refer to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 141, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 141, Local Government Procurement Notice, sponsored by Senator Kinski.
Senate File 141 shall be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 142, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 142, Community Mental Health Payment Reform 2, sponsored by Senator Scott.
Senate File 142 shall be referred to Committee Number 10, Health. Senate File 144, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 144, Legislator Per Diem, Local Residents, sponsored by Senator Bouchard.
Senate File 144 will be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 145, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 145, UW and Community College Boards of Trustees, Chairman, sponsored by Senator Nethercott.
Senate File 145, refer to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 146, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 146, Community College District Board Voting, sponsored by Senator Nethercott.
Senate File 146 will refer to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 148, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 148, Agricultural Tax Valuation Farmstead, sponsored by Senator Christensen.
Senate File 148, refer to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 152, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 152, Hathaway Student Scholarships, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss.
Senate File 152, refer to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 154, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 154, Sex Offender Registration Accessories, sponsored by Senator Hastert.
Senate File 154, be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 155, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 155, Bar and Grill Liquor License Increase, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Senate File 155, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation. Senate File 156, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 156, State Government Efficiencies, sponsored by Senator Perkins.
Senate File 156, refer to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
I do have a consent list. Mr. President, the consent list is as follows. I move the third reading consent list, which is as follows. Senate File 24, FIFI, also known as the Film Industry Financial Incentive Program. Senate File 47, State Institution Revenue Accounts. Senate File 50, Civics Education Programs. Senate File 51, Approval of Water Funds Transfer. Senate File 52, Fund Balance Definitions. Senate File 86, Game and Fish Permits. Senate File 90, Allocation of Complementary Hunting Licenses. Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, Sunset Date. Senate File 100, Limited Liability Companies. And last but not least, Mr. President, Senate File 105, Uniform Power of Attorney Act.
Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Senator Burchard.
Take Senate File 86 from the consent list.
Senate File 86 has been removed from the consent list. Any other bills that the Senate wishes to have removed from the consent list? Any other Senate files? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 24, Film Industry Financial Incentive Program. Senate File 47, State Institution Revenue Accounts. Senate File 50, Civics Educational Programs. Senate File 51, Approval of Water Funds Transfer. Senate File 52, Fund Balance Definition. Senate File 90, Allocation of Complementary Hunting Licenses. Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, Sunset Date. Senate File 100, Limited Liability Companies, and Senate File 105, Uniform Power of Attorney Act. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll on the consent list?
On the consent list, Agar.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Boner.
Aye.
Bouchard.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe. Dockstetter,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Ellis,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer, Moniz,
aye.
Nethercott,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
Wasterbricker, President Bebout.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 24, are there any changes? Agar, aye to no. Doc Stetter, aye to no. Case?
Aye to no.
Aye to no. Bouchard?
Aye to no.
Bouchard, aye to no.
Wasserberger, aye to no.
Hicks, aye to no.
Scott, no.
Scott, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Ebout, aye to no.
Ebout, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 24. 20 aye, 10 no. Senate file 47. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 47, 30 aye. Senate file 50, are there any changes?
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Case, aye to no. Bouchard?
Aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 50, 26 aye, 4 no. Senate file 51, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 51, 30 aye. Senate file 52, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 52, 30 aye. Senate file 90, are there any changes? Case aye to no.
Ellis
aye to no. Landon aye to no. Agar, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 90, 23 aye, 7 no. Senate file 99, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 99, 30 aye. Senate file 100, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 100, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate file 105, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 105, 30 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 24, Film Industry Financial Incentive Program, Senate File 47, State Institution Revenue Accounts, Senate File 50, Civics Educational Program, Senate File 51, Approval of Water Funds Transfer, Senate File 52, Fund Balance Definition, Senate File 90, Allocation of Complementary Hunting Licenses, Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, Sunset Date, Senate File 100, Limited Liability Companies, and Senate File 105, Uniform Power of Attorney Act, have passed the Senate. Senate File 86, having read three separate times, the question shall Senate File 86 pass the Senate. Will the reading clerk please read the call the roll? Excuse me. Will the reading clerk please read Senate File 86.
Senate File 86, Game and Fish Permits, an act relating to game and fish, sponsored by Senator Emmerich, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senator Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz.
Senator Meyer.
I'm glad this was pulled off. I had some questions that I didn't get up and ask about. Maybe they were amended, but I guess what I'm looking at here, is it still going to cost somebody $100 a year as an annual fee to own a one of these little fuzzy animals, raccoons or a red fox or a skunk? You know, I know there's some concern about rabies and vaccinations. There's probably some concern about the efficacy of those, but folks have been doing this for as long as I can remember, and I'm just curious how big the problem actually is. I see there's an administrative impact here of $14,000, so I guess if I do the math, that's about 150 people that this would affect. Doesn't seem like a huge problem, but I'm just curious why the state's really, whether there's really a dying need to get in and have regulation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burchard.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I did some checking on this to find out if there was any real rabies problems, and both the Veterinarians Board and the Predator Board could not tell me of any domestically kept animals that had a problem. Especially, but what I did learn from the Predatory Board is they really didn't have a problem with raccoons. But the real reason that I started looking at this is I just think that Wyoming doesn't need to be like California and limit people on what they can do now. I mean, when I was a kid, I had a friend that had raccoon as a pet, and that thing was about one of the cleanest animals I've seen. It's cleaner than a cat. As far as the other animals, I mean, if people want to do something, I just don't think Game and Fish needs another regulation.
Further discussion? Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the administrative impact on this bill, it probably will not be $100 per permit. It could conceivably as low as $25. And as far as the point of the whole bill, it's a public health bill, and we felt that this would be the most efficient, most effective way to limit the ownership and the possible spread of zoonoses. I have no problem with someone having a pet skunk. I question it, but I don't have a problem with it. But the primary impact of this bill, I would hope, would be just public health and less zoonotic disease spread and a diminished workload for the public health department. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? You ready for the question? Senate File 86. Having me read three separate times, the question is, shall this bill pass? Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar.
No.
No. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard.
Aye.
Aye. Boner.
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard.
No.
No. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case.
No.
No. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter.
No.
No. Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye. Ellis.
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert.
Aye.
Aye. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
Aye.
Aye. Meyer.
No.
No. Moniz.
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott. Aye. Pappas.
Aye.
Aye. Perkins.
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern? Aye. Wasserberger.
No.
No. President Bebout.
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 19 aye, 11 no.
Senate File 86, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 86 has passed the Senate. Senator Case.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor, please.
You may.
Mr. President, I find myself in a little quandary. I have seven bills filed. I'd like to withdraw one of the bills and file another by the time of the noon deadline. My understanding, the bill is in someone's desk drawer, and I have to, apparently from the chief clerk's office, I need to sign that bill to withdraw that, and I'm hoping that might be possible.
I wonder whose drawer that is in, Senator Case. Absolutely, that's very possible.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
The floor, please.
You may.
Mr. President, back in the among the scrum of people you see back there is the mayor of Cheyenne, Marion Schultz-Orr. We welcome her, please.
Welcome to the Senate chambers. I'm not sure if we refer to you as Your Honor. I guess we probably do. So good to have you here, Marion. Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. We also have some very special guests in the back there. Ms. Dilts, 7th grade class from Douglas Middle School, is visiting us, learning about our democratic process. So if you could join me in welcoming her.
Welcome to the Senate. Keep an eye on that tall young senator that represents your district. Any other members of this body wish to have privilege of the floor? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, before we do that, do we have any reports from standing committees?
January 25, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number one, to whom was referred Senate File 113, Felony Fleeing or Eluding Police, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Any other standing committee reports? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are ready for bills for consideration and committee of the whole on general file. Do you have a motion?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Senator Bouchard, please come up here. Senator Case, could you meet me in my office, please?
Woodshed.
Senator Case, what's your request?
Mr. President, I'm on Senate File 15 and Senate File 16 coming up here, so I didn't have a chance to catch you after. I'm stuck in general file for a little bit.
That'll be fine, Senator Case.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Burchard.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 15. The reading clerk will read Senate File 15.
Senate File 15, Special District Budget Requirements, an act relating to special districts, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 15, Special Districts Budget Requirements. Mr. Chairman, there's also a standing committee amendment. We might as well just have it read in at this time.
Senate File 15, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 15, line 4.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would move Standing Committee Amendment to Senate File 15, and I'll discuss it as we work through the bill. Mr. Chairman, this is one of three bills that you will see this morning from the that originated in the Special Districts Task Force. The Senate will recall that the Special District Task Force was created last year and made up of four legislators, two from this body. I was on the Special District Task Force along with Senator Rothfuss and two members of the House of Representatives, along with seven other members of the task force that represented special districts, represented county government, and represented the Secretary of State's office. The task force developed four bills that we brought forward for your consideration, actually five bills, Mr. Chairman, three of which the Corporations Committee passed on in November. This is the first of those three. You'll see all three this morning. The combination are Senate File 15, Senate File 16, and Senate File 18, Mr. Chairman. This bill deals with respect to budget requirements, Mr. Chairman, and what the bill does is it creates new requirements to help standardize the special district budgeting process. The bill attempts to clarify ambiguity and provides a uniform procedure for all special districts formed under their principal acts, which are silent on budget requirements. It sets requirements for the contents of the budgets. It sets requirements for the timelines and for budget filings and for the hearings to be held. Many of these provisions, Mr. Chairman, are modeled on provisions from the Uniform Municipal Fiscal Procedures Act. Basically, the bill also restructures Title 16, Chapter 12, to accommodate additional entities related to special districts. So, Mr. Chairman, you will see lots of new language in Section 1, but almost all of it is pulled from different areas. Specifically, the Municipal Fiscal Procedures Act is where a lot of this came from, is being recodified. So as we proceed through the bill, you'll see page 1 starts the definitions, and they're really over into page 2. And then on the bottom of page 2, you'll see the applicability. It looks like we're creating a new list of districts where this would apply to, but this is old language verbatim from the Municipal Fiscal Procedures Act. So all those lists are already in there. We get to page 5, Mr. Chairman. You can see the short title is going to be called the Special Districts Public Records and Meetings Act. And you can see beginning 16-12-302, these are all, it's really a recodification of most of the things in there. But you will notice that it deals with the budgeting requirements and the public records requirements of districts in this list. And a key point of all this is these extra requirements only apply where the principal act of the special district entity is silent. So where there's no reference in the principal act as to these procedures, that's why we bring it into here. So basically, the applicability and filing requirements. You can see this article specifies requirements pertaining to public records and meetings of the entities listed on the previous page where the principal act is silent or unclear. If there's a conflict, then you go to, it says the specific provisions of the Principal Act or the Wyoming Public Records Act are effective in controlling to the extent they conflict with this article. Mr. Chairman, you can see on page 6,
1612303. This is the maintenance of public records. This increases the uniformity by which records are maintained. You can see beginning in A, all special districts and other specified entities shall maintain a copy of the following documents. If the documents exist, provided the Wyoming Public Record Act and all applicable federal statutes shall control the obligations of disclosure of those documents. We're going to require minutes of all meetings of the governing board and the committees and the subcommittees, records of meetings of the governing board and the governing board's committees and subcommittees, audits, financial statements, election results, budgets, bylaws, rate schedules where that's applicable, policies and employment contracts all with their administrators. So it says that they have to maintain their records for public review. On to page 7, if they cannot maintain the records because they are not open enough for the public to have them, they maintain them with the county clerk, Mr. Chairman. And it says in section D that all special districts or other specified entities shall provide by September 30th of each year to the county clerk in every county wherein the entity exists a filing specifying where documents required under subsection A of this section are maintained for public review. 1612304 is created, but it's a recodification of public meeting requirements, Mr. Chairman. And then Article 4, beginning on page 8, is the administration of finances. And again, you can see that this section deals with areas where the principal act of the districts are unclear. There's definitions of appropriation, budget, budget year, department, estimated revenue, fiscal year, fund balance, proposed budget, and unappropriated surplus, Mr. Chairman. Page 10, it says how they should prepare their budget. And this is, of course, we work with the Department of Audit and with the county clerks and with the districts themselves to come up with this. Each special district or other specified entity shall prepare a proposed budget pursuant to WS-91507A, Romanet 7. The proposed budget shall comply with department rules and set forth 1. Actual revenues and expenditures in the last completed year. 2. Estimated total revenues and expenditures for the current budget year. 3. The estimated available revenues and expenditures for the ensuing budget year. The estimate of revenues shall contain estimates of all anticipated revenues from any source whatsoever. We had questions about this during the committee. It was quite interesting as to there are districts that at this time believe that they have public funds and non-public funds, so that they have been maintaining some separate accounts, some of which actually by our law are public funds. It was fairly interesting. There was a particular district that had received a donation, commingled the donation with the rest of its funds, but felt that it didn't need, wasn't sure if it needed to account for that money or not. This says, yes, you've got to account for that money. And we had a discussion with that district about that. You can see on the bottom of page 11, Mr. Chairman, it talks about a budget message which explains their policy with respect to reserves. Reserves in special districts were something that we came across on a number of occasions where some folks said, well, they have too much reserves. Why are they leveling all their mill levies if they've got all these reserves? Is it too much? Whatever. We looked actually in the Special Districts Task Force at possibly setting a requirement for reserves that were, you know, would have, say, you can't have more than 2 times your annual income or something like that. But, Mr. Chairman, that was really unworkable, and we found out for different districts who have irregular but significant expenditures, perhaps to buy capital equipment or perhaps to deal with emergencies, that such a policy probably wouldn't be workable. But we did think it was a good thing to have districts talk about what their reserves are and talk about their policy with respect to those reserves. So that's where the section on bottom of page 11 is. And you can see that there's more discussion of the reserves on page 12, where on lines 10 it says a special district or other specified entity may accumulate reserves in any fund. And in respect to the general fund, the accumulated fund balance may be used to meet any legal obligation of the special district or other specified entity, or to provide, you can see 1, 2,
provide cash to finance expenditures from the beginning of the budget year until property taxes and other revenues are collected, provide a reserve to meet emergency expenditures. Money in the reserve may be allowed to accumulate from year to year until the accumulated total is sufficient for the specified purpose. 1612405 talks about the property tax levy and how, let me look at real quick, the amount of estimated revenue from property tax required by the budget shall constitute the basis for determining of the property tax to be levied for the corresponding tax year, subject to legal limitations. Bottom of page 13 talks about budget hearings, and this is really a key part of the bill, Mr. Chairman. And it started out being a little controversial. What this is a requirement is to facilitate discussion by having special districts sit down with the Board of County Commissioners and discuss their budgets, discuss their training requirements, and discuss their reserve, for example. Mr. Chairman, you might have heard about a bill earlier in the session. One of the proposals of the Special Districts Task Force was to have a bill that allowed for the county governments to propose that the district be submitted to the voters for a reaffirmation. And it was called the Dissolution Bill. You might have heard about it, and almost everybody was against it. That process, that bill was not passed by the Corporations Committee. It doesn't have anything to do with this particular bill at all, and is that you're not going to see anything about it this session. So please don't be confused about that. But this is just with respect to a budget hearing, which is a sitting across the table at the request of the county commissioners and discussing the items on page 14. They submit their proposed budget. They discuss verification of elections, the public meetings, and board member training, and they provide the minutes from any meetings that the district or other specified entity has held that year. And it explains, you can see the hearings for special districts or other specified entities shall be conducted not later than the third Thursday in July, except as hereinafter provided. Mr. Chairman, the purpose of this and the whole kind of bill is to get the special districts on a budget cycle that is uniform and that also fits with the cycling of the county commissioners. So the county commissioners could have the sit-down talk about the special districts' activities and budgets. There's no enforcement at all. There's none whatsoever with respect to county commissioners, none extended from what exists in law now. We start on top. There's a the amendment, Mr. Chairman, begins in this section that starts on the bottom of page 14. It's 1612407, limitation on appropriations. The existing language says a special district or other specified entity shall not make any appropriation in the final budget of any fund in excess of the estimated expendable revenue of the fund for the budget year. And the Department of Audit thought that that was satisfactory, but in our discussion in the Standing Committee, we thought that we should be very clear that we're allowing them to expend their reserves as well, if need be. So the purpose of the amendment, page 15, line 4, it comes in after the word revenue and inserts the words and reserves. And that amendment was previously moved, Mr. Chairman. The next section is adoption of the budget, and this is where the rest of the amendment comes in. As you can see, the existing language on line 9 says, within 24 hours of the conclusion of the public hearing, the governing body of each special district shall adopt the budget. Your Corporations Committee thought it would be better to say 3 business days, Mr. Chairman, and that's the second part of the amendment. That sort of completes the discussion of the amendment. I don't care when we take it up, or we could you could take it up now or later at the conclusion of my introduction. It's up to you, Mr. Chairman. But we're almost done. Mr. Chairman, 1612408, of course, deals with the adoption of the budget and the timing of it. And right now, the current law has the budget hearing being held June 1st. This one says that the adopted budget shall be filed with the Department of Audit and the county clerk on behalf of the county commissioners no later than July 31st. Slight change there. It makes it uniform. And I should point out there was, in many of these principal acts, it wasn't clear where these budgets were even filed. This says, well, they all got to go to the county clerk who will get them to the county commissioners is basically what's happening. So they'll be available generally in a centralized place. If you look on bottom of page 15, this is a place where you see language about the county commissioners being able to veto a budget. But let me tell you that this is not new language. This is not new powers. This is just a recodification, and it only applies to those special districts where the county commissioners appoint the board entirety. Okay, an example would be a weed and pest district, Mr. Chairman. So, yes, indeed, county commissioners appoint that board, and they can veto budget items, but they can do that now. There was not a power grab or anything. It only applies to those where the board, the entire governing board, was appointed by the county commissioners. The rest are just general budgeting requirements, transfer of unencumbered or unexpended appropriations, general fund and budget reserves. Again, that's bottom of page 16. It talks about the general fund may be increased by resolution of the governing body of the special district, and it talks about emergency expenditures, and they are permitted. When you make emergency expenditures, you have to come back and alter your budget, and there's a timeline for doing that. Appropriations lapses and prior claims, 1612.412, transfer of special fund balances, interfund loans, and then that's all basically recodification of the Uniform Municipal Fiscal Procedures Act, Mr. Chairman, and applying them to special districts. Mr. Chairman, the rest of the bill are the amendments, and you can see for example, page 19, the director of the State Department of Audit shall, beginning in 2018, require each special district and other entities specified in that list at the beginning of this chapter to report to the department, and this is the reporting requirements, and it used to say the Board of County Commissioners, but county clerks receive all the information for the county commissioners, so it says report to the department and to the county clerk of the county where the special district or other specified entity is located. And it says it becomes effective. They have to do it by rule no later than December 31st, 2017. Page 20, you can see that the language says that district supervisors shall administer the finances of the district according to the provisions of the Uniform Municipal Fiscal Procedures Act. Under 16.4106, we're taking out the word, this section applies to districts and entities. It's just the entities described in 16.4.112. Budget hearings. Since the previous part of this bill covered the budget hearings, they're actually special districts are removed from this piece, which is really 16.4.109 is about county budget hearings. And it was all tangled up with language about the other special districts. But as you recall, the purpose of the bill is to have these budget hearings with the county commissioners, so that doesn't need to be there. And you can see similar removal of districts from areas where it's been recodified in 16.4.111, 16.4.125, and I do have to say these are the 18.3.402, that's under county government, that's your county clerk's duties. It says each county clerk shall, after receiving a proposed budget for a special district or other specified entity, ensure that the proposed budget is forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners. That's their job. And it talks about, the next one talks about the powers of the Board of County Commissioners, and they will receive the proposed budget from special district or specified entities under 18.3402D. That's the language just up above. They post the budget on a website. And it goes on, talks about what happens if the county clerk doesn't get the budget. We're almost done, Mr. Chairman. I bet you're glad. 18.10.213, again, this is removing an entanglement of the Board of Trustees of a museum district in county government, where it's been, of course, it's been recodified. The next one also deals with cemetery districts. It's the same purpose, removing them from under this section where they were commingled with other things and putting in the special districts law. There's some repealers. Some of those we're going to talk about in another bill, but that is the bill, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if people want to do the vote on the amendment or how you want to proceed.
Are you ready for the question? All those in, on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 15, please say A.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say no. The motion to adopt Standing Committee 1 to Senate File 15 has passed. We are back on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to thank the chairman for all his hard work, both as chairman of the Corporations Committee and the task force. It was a lot of work this summer for the committee. A couple of questions I do have. One is over on page 12 on the section of 1612.404. I'll preface this with a short story of a political subdivision in my area that was limited in much the same way that this limits special districts, that said they could only use the money for operations, for repairs, and for the retirement of debt. And they used $1 million a year for the last 15 years on the golf course. But there wasn't really any penalty provision in that particular area. So my question is, if someone does spend it on an obligation that necessarily would not be considered legal, could you point me to a penalty provision? I'm curious as to what standing a person would have, what remedies they would have, whether it's purely civil or whether there's a criminal penalty for essentially malfeasance in office by any of the folks. The other section I have is over on page 15, lines 2 through 5, which was amended. I'm curious as to what the definition of revenue would be. Whether or not there's a lot of these districts that are essentially pass-through entities. They'll accept grants from the state. Necessarily isn't revenue to them, but they administer pass-through grants, and they could, through that process, maybe even have what may be considered an appropriation. So I'm curious as to what you deem as an appropriation. And then whether or not this would, the way it's written, currently constructed, whether it would prohibit bonds. Could they actually go out and bond for a major capital improvement, but they couldn't pay for it because we were limiting their appropriations. So just a little clarification on the terminology of revenue appropriations and the penalty phase in the other section. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to figure out this budget hearings on the bottom of page 13, because what you really have with special districts, and I did this for 8 years, what you really have with special districts that have elected trustees, whether it's a fire district or a hospital district, whatever it is, at the end of the day, the only thing that county commissioners can really do statutorily is approve their budget based on the assessed valuation in that particular district. And if you take a fire district, for example, they're allowed to levy up to 3 mils, as is a hospital district. So I'm trying to figure out this pre-hearing provision that you have in here. What is the teeth behind this? Because, like I said, at the end of the day, commissioners can only approve the mill levy based on the assessed valuation that comes back within that district. So what is the real purpose of the budget hearing provision here in the pre-hearing?
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and my chairman may have further opinions on this, but as I saw it, listening to this as a member of the Corporations Committee, both in the interim and during session here, the real purpose here is you get some of these smaller districts, and it's usually the smaller ones that have the trouble, the less sophisticated. The county commissioners, here there's a problem. If they bring them in, have a pre-hearing, I think the primary purpose is for the county commissioners to advise the people running the smaller district, the board, as to what's good practice, how to proceed, how to stay out of trouble, and give them good, sound advice. A public hearing will solve a lot of the, you know, we hear rumors of this and such, dig that out, and prevent a lot of trouble. It's not perfect. We aren't giving them any big hammers. But I think in a lot of the problems that do arise where you get people that are not used to functioning in a public arena on the board, Mr. Chairman, of a special district, having this pre-hearing will enable its preventive medicine. And I think it'll solve most of the problems that are out there. And there are not a lot of them, but there's, 675 more or less of these districts? We keep getting new ones all the time. You get that number, there's going to be some ones that screw something up, make a mess out of it. And the county commissioners are the elected officials, general government officials, with the most influence over them, and I think can solve a lot of problems informally. And there have been some problems where districts, the county commissioners have asked districts to come in and talk to us, and they won't do it. And this will solve them, get them on the road to getting these fixed. So it isn't a perfect remedy, but I think it'll solve most of the problems we have, and there's not an excessive number of them, but with the number of districts we have, Mr. Chairman, there are some problems.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, to follow on to a couple of those comments, I was on the task force that put forward this legislation, and we had a great deal of testimony, and one of the key resonant themes is that not all special districts are the same or anywhere near one another. So putting together some uniform statutes that properly addresses some of the needs that we identified, but in a way that would work for generally the many different types of special districts was certainly a challenge. And there were interests to actually have budget hearings for every special district where they marched in front of the county commissioners and everyone presented their budget beforehand, and that seemed like an atrocious idea for some of the counties that had nearly 100 special districts. And yet it was clear that there was interest in having the ability to have those hearings and have them engage with the county commissioner before they've actually set a budget and before things are finalized. The provision that we see at the bottom of page 13 with regard to the budget hearings indicates that county commissioners or the county commissioners may request that budget hearing or a pre-hearing that would allow for the openness to engage the public, and they have a much better and more publicly accessible process to ensure that interested parties can come to the table and have that discussion. It was trying to make sure that when transparency was needed, when there were problems potentially coming to a head, that there was good process in place to ensure that the budgets could be looked at by all parties prior to having to have that approval moment where the budget's being submitted. To concerns on page 15,
regarding the limitation on appropriations and what would be allowed, you can see this language. It's short. It's very broad. It can be interpreted in a lot of different ways, and that, again, goes back to the concept that different districts are going to do things in different ways. So the key concept here is don't spend funds that you don't have, that you don't project you're going to have. And we have estimated expendable revenue, which was just about the broadest term we could come up with to cover any possible way of revenue coming in. You have to make sure that your budget does not exceed that estimated expendable revenue for that particular fund in the budget year. So addressing the specific concerns of whether you could bond, whether you could have other projected revenues, special revenues, anything else, this is written in a way broadly enough to try and anticipate any of those different revenue-raising measures that districts, depending on the district type, would have available to them. The key concept there on the limitation on appropriations, though, is that once again we're going to hold the special districts to expenditures that don't exceed revenues for their given funds for that particular year. Hopefully that addresses some of the concerns.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question regarding Section 1612-103. Right now it looks like there are 29 listed districts, but in this bill I only see 24 listed. And so I was wondering what the discussion was about the omitted districts that are currently in statute but aren't included in this bill, including DDAs, drainage, hospital authority, irrigation, and those. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Let me catch up. With respect to irrigation districts and districts like that, there are a class of districts that are administered by the courts in Wyoming. And those districts are not included in this. We actually did consider in the task force a bill that would have moved the administration of districts administered by the courts into being administered more alongside the executive branch with these other districts. That failed in the task force, wasn't brought forward, hasn't been discussed, and that's where some of them are missing. You'll also note that we're going to have a discussion about the Board of Cooperative Education, and there's a separate bill on that to remove them. So I think when you work those numbers out, that's where you get the numbers. If I could catch up, Mr. Chairman, and talk to my good colleague here in the back row with respect to page 12 on really the fund surplus and the expenditures and whether there were going to be penalties for malfeasance or misappropriation of funds. This really doesn't change anything from existing law. Of course, in existing law, you can't steal. I've seen news reports where public officials who misappropriated funds were drawn on the carpet and in some cases fully prosecuted. So this doesn't add or subtract from that, Mr. Chairman. All those remedies would still exist. I think I'm caught up, but I'm not. I thought the other questions were answered well.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 15, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Senate File 15 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. May I have privilege of the floor for a moment?
You sure can.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow senators, in the back of the room back there, we have a couple of good friends of ours who happen to be some of our finest, a couple of firefighters. Corey Ramsey is a firefighter for Evansville, and Dane Anderson is a firefighter from Casper. I just would like to ask you to help me welcome them to the Senate.
Okay, the next, let me find out where I was here. Will the reading clerk read the bill? I started to say that, didn't I? I thought I said it already.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I'll say it again. Senator Ruffus.
Point of order, and you may be doing this. We need the name and number of the bill as well announced.
Okay. You mean the I'm sorry, Mr. I'm sorry, Senator Ruffus.
No worries.
All right. I'm getting confused up here, so don't everybody bear with me. Okay, so now. Okay. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 41, Enterprise Technology Services Amendments, an act relating to the administration of government, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. Was referred to committee number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, when the committee, I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 41, Enterprise Technology Services Amendments. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of the bill, I will carry on. I will keep calm and carry on. Mr. Chairman, this bill does basically three things that are already in practice in the state, and are in two cases are in session law, and this is again one of those bills that have been in that we are trying to codify the practice. And so I would take everybody to page 2 on lines 8 through 13. That's the first aspect of this bill, and it deals with the technology replacement program for ETS. And this is something that's been going on since ETS started, and it states that all computer purchases made via the Chief Information Officer State Technology Replacement Program shall be made in accordance with the provisions of the subsection, that standardized pricing and so forth. This has been in session law since 2014. Just for the body's edification, all the hardware in the state under the ETS is on a 4-year rotation. And so, as I said, this is a codification of session law. The next page down, I'm sorry, the next line down on page 2, line 18, going over to page 3, deals with the E-rate. What this does is when the state set up the unified network, the unified 100 gigabit network, it was the way it got was set up was in such a way it goes to schools, judiciary, the executive branch, and the legislative branch, and because of that we apply to the Universal Service Fund. We pay the various carrier companies for their bandwidth, and then we go back to the federal government, and there is a rebate that comes back. It's about one-third. So last year, for instance, the state spent $6 million on broadband. We got 2 years later, there's a 2-year lapse because it's the federal government, we got $2 million back from the federal government. Again, this just codifies that. This is currently in 2012 session laws. If you go over to page 3, starting on line 11, and then going over to page 4, this is the arguably the most controversial part of this bill. And on page 11 through 19, the decision was made at that time with the unified network to, rather than the state build its own bandwidth, we purchase that bandwidth from the carrier companies, the various telecommunication companies in the state. That's what that says. Then when you get down to line 21 on going on to page 4, we get to page 4. It says that the Wyoming state government does not include local government cities, towns, or counties, hospitals, joint power boards, special districts, or other local government entities. That was a footnote in the budget bill that expired this past year on June 30th. So this has to be renewed. This is for codification. The some of the smaller political subdivisions have asked about being able to go on the unified network. Their price really wouldn't go up, but I think some of them are in hopes that the state will end up paying for their bandwidth as the state does for everybody who also is currently on the unified network. So, Mr. Chairman, that's basically a summation of the bill. And with that, I'd be glad to take any questions.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 41, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Senate File 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
You sure can, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, just I know you're all aware of it, but at 12 o'clock today, you have to have all your bills signed so they can be numbered. And I know there's a LSO staff running around to try to find some senators that have bills that are just about ready to go but have not been signed off on. So be sure and do it. We got about 23 minutes left. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're going to go ahead. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you did that last bill. I think we've got that through that it did pass committee the whole. We've read that, correct?
Yes.
All right. At this point, just in order to facilitate that, I would move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
Motion carries.
Motion carries.
What do you mean?
This one too? And this is the one.
Standing committee reports.
January 25, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 5, to whom was referred Senate File 119, Grand Teton National Park Transfer of State Lands, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz, Senator Moniz, acting chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 1, to whom was referred Senate File 133, Postmortem Despoiling Penalties, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Nethercott. No, Senator Kinski. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Introduction and reading reference of Senate files. Senate File 149, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 149, continuation of Special Districts Task Force, sponsored by Senator Case.
Senate File 149 will be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation. Senate File 150, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 150, long-acting reversible contraception, sponsored by Senator Nethercott.
Senate File 150, we refer to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 151, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 151, Ignition Interlock, sponsored by Senator Kinski.
Senate File 151 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a motion? Excuse me just a second. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there was a bill, Senate File 147, Livestock Inspections Investigators, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. It came up on the bill, but a policy question arose that is actually better dealt with by the Agriculture Committee, so that I'd ask that you re-refer that bill over to Committee Number 5, Agriculture.
Without objection, Senate File, what was the number of that again?
147.
Senate File 147 shall be referred to the Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
President, I'd move that we stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will meet at 1 p.m. down at the L55, the Appropriations Committee Room, where we will take up Senate File 136, Energy Science Stipends and Fellowships, and re-referred File 49, Investment Funds Committee.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet at 12:30 in Room Jonah, Room S18, to consider bills Senate Joint Resolution 7, Depositories for State Funds Constitutional Amendment, and Senate File 132, Endow Initiative.
Senator Emmert.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., Jonah Room S27, to consider Senate File 25, Wildlife Location and Research Information Confidentiality, continued from the 14th of this month. Senate File 120, Mentor Antelope Hunting Voucher, continued from the 24th. And Senate File 126, Guides and Outfitters Penalties.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment to consider the following two files in Jonah Room S27, Senate File 57, Motor Vehicle Franchise Exception, Senate File 109, Auto Cycles.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow morning, note the time, 7:30 a.m. in Jonah Room S18 to consider the following bills. First one is a committee bill, Senate File 17, Municipal Jurisdiction. The next one is Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, Right of Privacy and Right to Know, also a committee bill. Senate File 96, Real Estate Brokers and Salespersons, I believe sponsored by Senator Pappas. Senate File 79, Public Utility Regulation, Joint Powers Boards, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Any other announcements? The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.
I wonder if we missed any of them.
I missed 15. Now, what am I asking, Jimmy? If I need to post something before, what can happen?
There's a limit.
Okay. Oh, before he can talk.
Right. You just need to see, we're the ones that put the stack up here. So if we don't know it's changed, we're giving something wrong to the chairman.
I know, because I thought that you know what I'm saying.
That's okay. I caught it. Because the problem was, see, I'd written a note to you to tell you this didn't come out of committee and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, and I'm looking at my cow list, which was out of sync with the board. So the president's like, well, that's not
my son. So we're going to...